I think the way the story, this story is going to develop, if you want to compare buzz-wise and what the story of this whole draft season is going to be, last year was Cam Newton. I don't think it's luck this year because I think it's too obvious what's going to happen. There's nothing to argue there. It's a clean prospect. There's just he's been out there for so long that you know the story's kind of run its course. The story here, I think, would be Robert Griffin and how it all plays out with him. You know, obviously, he's a very intriguing prospect. He's a bit of a projection, so there's things that you can argue about there. And then the really interesting thing is I think most people expect him to go second overall. The question is where he's going to land. And obviously, the St. Louis Rams are very happy with Sam Bradford. And, you know, they're gonna trade that pick. And, you know, the whole Griffin Derby here, who's going to get him? How's he going to wind up? Where's he going to land? You know, what's going to take for a team to move up, like a Cleveland, like a Miami, like a the Redskins? What's going to take for a team to move up and get him? There's a lot of balls in the air right now with that, and it should make it pretty interesting here.
Beyond the quarterback derby, what kind of manipulating and maneuvering do you sort of sense and feel that teams are going to do? And is this the type of draft at even some other positions that lends itself to people, okay, going to X spot to get a Justin Blackmon or Y spot to get somebody else? Do you get any sense that there's a greater willingness among teams to do that sort of thing?
Right. I know what you're saying. I think one of the things with this interesting here is how the new CBA is going to affect this draft. And you saw it a little bit last year. There was an anticipation that there was going to be rookie control over the rookie salaries. You know, the Falcons certainly had that in mind to a certain degree when they traded all the way up from 27 to 6 to get Julio Jones. But I think even more so now, you're going to have those top 10 picks that used to be seen as toxic because of the dollar numbers that were attached to them. Now teams can trade them. You know, now they're marketable commodities because of the salary control. Because not only do you have very reasonable numbers for 4 years, the fifth year option, you know, you can get out of it if you need to, or you can keep the guy for a reasonable number after that, and then you can franchise him. So you've got so much control over the young players now at the top of the draft, a lot more than you used to. You know, it makes those picks a lot more marketable. You know, in the past, of course, what you saw was, you know, you see some of the contracts could choke teams. Jamarcus Russell, obviously, the St. Louis Rams had some top five picks clogging their salary cap up. Look at the Detroit Lions now. They've hit on a few of them, and they're going to have issues re-signing Matt Stafford, Calvin Johnson, and Dominic Sue. That's a good problem to have, but because of the numbers at the end of those big contracts, it's harder to renegotiate those things. So there were a plethora of problems that went along with having a top 10 pick in the past. And those don't exist anymore. So, you know, a Matt Khalil or a Justin Blackmon, if you really want a guy like that, it's more palatable for a team to go up and make that type of move. And because of that, not only the St. Louis Rams, but also if the Vikings or the Browns or the Buccaneers, teams in that top five, if they want to trade out, that option really exists, and you can get a lot of capital for it. Where in the past, when teams would be moving up, they would tell, you know, they tell the trading partner, hey, you're going to save money by moving down, so we don't have to give you as much. The Jets said that to the Browns back when they traded with the Mark Sanchez deal in 2009, and that's the only top five pick that was traded over the last, 6 years, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Then the draft's going to change quite a bit because of the financials.
How about free agency with the start date of March 13th? How does that impact? I mean, it's enough of a distance or a gap between this event and when it starts I'm thinking that could affect some strategy and the fact that there will be at least, double the number of free agents available.
Yeah, I mean, there's 700 free agents available. It's unbelievable. But that's the effect of having the uncapped year rules where you had five- and six-year guys that were restricted. And, you know, so now it's kind of like the floodgates are opening and a lot of those guys are coming free now, which is, you know, great for the players. And, you know, you're also going to have teams that are going to be operating with a lot of cap room. You know, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Tampa have got a lot of cap room, not only based on what they've spent now, but also the rollover cap room. And just from a cash flow standpoint, those teams are going to have to spend because, you know, when the salary floor kicks in 2013, well, you know, you're going to have that rollover money. You're going to have to be paying forward then. So there's going to be a lot of money spent. Like you said, I think it gives us. I think it gives teams a better chance. The timing of it gives teams a better chance to reset. And you get out of the combine, you do your draft prep and everything else, and then you can kind of reset things a little bit. It'll be an interesting year in that from that standpoint. And again, you know, the quarterback situation out there with Matt Flynn and with Peyton Manning, you know, it should make it fascinating because timing is going to be important too, like you said. So Matt Flynn is the guy who's going to, you know, presumably be the first guy off the board. And then, you know, what happens with Flynn depends a lot on whether or not Peyton Manning, whether or not a team is willing to stick their neck out and sign a still rehabbing Peyton Manning. And then, or do you want to wait till the draft? So there's a lot of stuff going on at once. It's going to be exciting in the next 2 months.
We're visiting with Albert Breer from NFL Network and NFL.com. Does the glut of players change or impact maybe the type of money that will be spent? Well, can we figure on maybe the dollars being lower just because of the numbers being there and that your tiers, the tiers of free agency will be maybe more defined or more finely defined?
Well, you would think so, because if you have 4 or 5 guys out there, say the receivers, you know, if Vincent Jackson isn't franchised and he's out there, and then you have Brandon Lloyd, and then you have DeSean Jackson maybe available in the trade with the Eagles after he's franchised, you would think that effect would be out there. You know, Mike Wallace, another one. You'd think that effect would be out there where, you know, teams could play those guys against each other. And if there's not, you know, 10 teams looking for a blue-chip receiver, then, you know, there could be a problem for the players. The flip side of it, again, I think that the wild card in all of it is your Kansas City, your Jacksonville, your Tampa that has to spend. How are those teams going to get themselves up from a, you know, like a cash flow and a cap standpoint, get themselves ready for the salary floor in 2013? Should make it fascinating. And, you know this, Vic, something I've learned, too, over the course of the last, you know, however long I've been covering the league now, it's all it takes is one team. One team overspends and changes the market. I mean, you know, what's going to happen if Calvin Johnson gets $15 million a year, like he might from the, gets a Fitzgerald deal? Well, then receivers are going to be looking for it. So that's something that's got to shake out. New economics, of course, and a lot of players, too, are going to be looking towards 2014 when the new television deal is coming and presumably the cap will go way up.
Based on the best of what you know, talking with different club folks here and before you got here, the deepest position in this draft and the shallowest position?
I think the deepest position, well, you've got, I've heard the defensive tackles are very good. I think the offensive linemen, very, very good. And what I from what I understand, what's interesting about it is you got Matt Khalil, who's seen as a, you know, your prototype, your Joe Thomas, your Jake Long, your, you know, he's that guy in this draft. And then after that, you know, both on the interior and at tackle, there's a lot of very good players, but not elite players. And so it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out, because it's possible, say you get the 15th pick, well, you know, it's possible teams can look at that and say, well, we can get just as good a player in the second round, let's address another position here. So the offensive linemen, I think there's a lot of good interior offensive linemen, a lot of good defensive tackles. You know, my understanding is the receiver position's got some depth to it as well. As far as weak spots, my understanding is there's not a ton of pass rushers. And the safety position is also very weak beyond Mark Barron. And the interesting thing about the safety position is that it's really becoming an epidemic. And the NFL is going to have a hard time finding safeties. What's happening in the college game is your old 210-pound safety is getting moved down to linebacker in college to combat the spread offense. And so now you've got smaller corners who can't tackle playing, getting moved over to safety, and the NFL is having a real problem filling that position, where just 5-6 years ago you saw a ton of guys coming out of that position. So I'd say safeties and the pass rushers, difficult to find some of those guys. You know, there's a question of who's going to be the second running back behind Trent Richardson. So I'd look at those positions being shallow. And again, you know, defensive tackle, interior offensive lineman, you know, some depth at receiver as some good spots in this particular class.
Great stuff, Albert. Thank you so much for your time.
All right, thanks, Vic.